Hey, welcome to another edition of Nude Hippo, the podcast. I'm Tony Lozano. And this week, helping me produce the show from Man Friends is Kimmy Spoons.
Hello.
Kimmy, you know who we have this week?
I believe Svengoolie.
Svengoolie, yes, the man behind the spooky makeup, Rich Coes. Now, he's been hosting Svengoolie now for 40 years.
That's a lot of years.
I have interviewed Rich Coes many, many times, both on Nude Hippo, the TV show, Lozano and Friends. In fact, you met him at Lozano and Friends, did you not?
I did. It was, I didn't expect it, to be honest. I feel like it was a giant secret. And once I realized who was coming on, I was like, oh, okay.
But you didn't get a picture with him.
No. And I kind of regret it because I've been yelled at by my friends to this day still, because he has figurines of Svengoolie. And I did not know he was such a huge fan. Until, you know, I got yelled at for not getting a photo.
So I've interviewed him many times, but he always comes along with his executive producer, Jim Roach. And Jim is a very, very funny guy. So I wanted to include Jim in on the interview because I think he's smart, he's funny, and he's the guy that's behind the scenes helping Rich make this all happen. So I wanted to really go dive into and show people what it was like to put on the show that's been on locally for 40 years. So we go behind the scenes of Svengoolie. This is my interview with Rich Coes and Jim Roach.
Following is a Tony Lozano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is Nude Hippo, the podcast.
Now, Rich, I've had you on my show 1,000 times. I count it. This is 1,000 times.
I thought it was number 959, but I may have miscounted.
We broke up a few into two-parters.
I see, so that expands it. All right.
But this is the first time we have Jim with us. Uh-oh. Would you like to introduce who Jim is to the listening audience?
Why, I'd be more than pleased and less than intelligent. Yikes. It's Jim Roach, who has been the executive producer of our show now for how long, Jim?
Oh, it's been about 5 years, maybe?
It seems
longer.
Before that, he was in charge of the promotion on MeTV, and we first worked together when he volunteered to work a public event that was being done, and they told him, you can either work with the money machine that blows the money up and people grab it, or you could work with Svengoolie. And he was trying to decide which one had less hot air, and I guess he went with me.
Well, we saw which one won out. Yeah, but I went with you. And that was the beginning of it all. That was 17 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? 17 years.
I have known Jim. Jim, I feel like I've known you longer than 5 years.
I've been around.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. Because he's gone on a lot of my appearances previous to the 5 years.
So. Yeah, that's what it goes back to what Rich was talking about, is when going out with him on his appearances.
Yeah.
And then subsequently we just started working together that way, and I kind of became his de facto road guy.
Right.
They call me anything from his stooge to his Sven's secret service.
To de facto.
Well.
He wanted to be like an Italian.
I love that band, the de facto.
De facto. Che facci.
Are you ever dressed up in the Svengoolie costume, pretending to be Svengoolie like Andy Kaufman had, you know?
Oh, Bob Smuda.
Yeah, right.
No,
dressed as Svengoolie. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I wear my traditional uniform when we go out in appearances with my Svengoolie T-shirt, which happens to be whichever one we're trying to sell at the time.
Right.
So I have fewer to take home at the end of the event.
Right. And if you have a few that you're selling, you wear multiple ones at once.
Well, you know, you can never be too safe.
So that reminds me of something. If I can just interject here, I often will get, you know, emails from people say, oh, I dressed up as you and went to this convention, and people thought that it was really you. And when I look at the pictures, I keep thinking, are they really visually impaired that much that they wouldn't be able to tell that it wasn't the real me?
Right, right.
I just really wonder about that. I'm sorry.
They might be watching on a very small screen. And when you see someone in person, I mean, just like when you see a celebrity in person, do they now often look a little different than what you've seen on TV?
Well, yes, of course.
So maybe that's what's happening.
That may be part of it. It's the whole thing that they always say about how the camera adds 20 pounds. And, of course, the joke is how many cameras are on you. So,
but what I like about both of you, whenever I see you two, you have like a comedy routine just naturally. Are you guys really friends in real life?
Because you have such a rapport.
He hasn't seen the notes yet that I've written on my hand.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, you know, we obviously... We're friends and have been for a long time, and we both have very similar senses of humor. And
take it back.
Okay, sorry. Oh, no. And yeah, I mean, we just you know, ad lib back and forth, and that's one of the things that makes the appearances fun for me, yeah, is us doing the back and forth stuff. And a lot of times, Jim acts as the sort of antagonist. And, you know, I get to deliver the put-downs to him, and it amuses the people waiting in line and waiting to come up and meet us. So it's kind of an additional little show, yes, that helps make waiting to get an autograph or take a picture a little more fun.
Well, and you know, and that's where it pretty much started. When I, as we talked about that first time I went out, I was amazed because I was not super familiar with this Svengoolie. I mm-hmm. grew up in Chicago, and I remember Jerry G. Mm-hmm. And I'd, you know, been working and had been out of town for many years and came back all when he was getting set up as Son of Svengoolie, right, and all that. So I wasn't really familiar with him.
Yeah.
I knew the brand, yeah, and as soon as we got together and started working together, as Rich said, we just kind of hit it off. And one of the things that was so much fun was that we just kind of fell into this. This isn't,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
you know, something that we scripted or anything. It's just one after the other. And it's amazing when you see the numbers of people that come out. And there'll be people standing in line for upwards of 2 hours, yeah, to see this guy. And for those of you listening, I'm pointing at Mr. Coe's. And they do. And so we just, you know, find a way to just sort of make them laugh while they're standing in line. And so we have the little shtick going and have the unspoken communication between us. And that works real well on the road. And I'll confess, it is a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I have had the privilege of interviewing a lot of the Bozo people from the old era, and the chemistry they have, and they were all on-air talent, reminds me of you two. You know what I mean? It's that vaudeville type of sense of humor, the back and forth. I can't imagine why you two don't have a show together. I remember in 2014 when I was going to take a summer off of my podcast, I'm like, Rich, would,
yes,
you like
I
to do a summer,
yeah,
run of a podcast?
Yeah.
I think you and Jim would be great together, yeah, just doing a podcast together.
It was
together.
Just a matter of not having, yeah, the time to,
yeah,
do,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
all. Now,
yeah,
it's you know, we were laughing about the fact that we have even less time to do, yes, things, because as we've, you know, succeeded nationally, yeah, here, there's more and more on our plates and, yeah, more things coming up, and it's kind of amazing to me that all that has happened. But yeah, no, it would be fun to do, yeah, but no, we don't
have
not the time to do it.
Well, and it's amazing too, you know, coming up to the Halloween season and everything, which is quite busy. For
this is your Christmas, as I tell everyone.
And
this
he's
is,
Santa, yeah, Claus,
mm-hmm, right?
And it's
ho, ho.
Hey now, but it's a great deal of fun, but it's also a tremendous amount of work. And through that and other appearances throughout, mm-hmm, the year and any other things that we have going, we have a show to do,
yeah,
and it's on,
mm-hmm,
52
yeah,
weeks a year, and, yeah, you know, occasional reruns, but there's, yeah, a lot of work to be done. As you're sitting here on the luxurious set of Svengoolie, you can see
it,
where all the magic happens.
Well, I mean, when I did Noon Hippo as a weekly series, I used to tell people, I went, we do more episodes a year years than Friends, because we were up against Friends at the time.
Uh-huh.
I went, and with slightly less a budget than they had.
Just a little less,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
So how many episodes of Svengoolie do you crank out roughly a year?
It varies, and it's hard to say because we also update older shows, mm-hmm, along the way. This year, I think, had more brand new shows than we've had in several years.
Yeah.
And where was it, about maybe 20
or so? 20-something, yeah.
And then besides that, we've got reruns, as people like, as we like to call them, encore performances. But we've changed out segments in them and reshot segments and added new ones in. Yeah. And every single show has at least one new segment in it, which would be the male segment.
Yeah, you're right. And Svengoolie just celebrated the 40th anniversary,
mm-hmm,
correct?
Yeah.
40 years ago. Could you have ever seen yourself doing this long? What were you visualizing when you took this over from Jerry?
Well, and there was, of course, a period of time from when Jerry did it to when,
sure,
I did it.
Yeah.
And I went around, you know, trying to pitch various TV stations, yeah, on it. Finally, the geniuses at WFLD decided, okay. And when I got that job, I was not thinking, yes, 40 years from now, I shall still be wearing this wig. I was just happy, first of all, to have the job.
Yeah.
I was happy, you know, to be on TV. Sure. Look, I'm on TV, Mom. And I was not even thinking about longevity at that time. It was like so in the moment that, you know, I'm doing this now and this is so cool. I never thought, you know, well, I wonder if I'll still be doing it even in a year.
Right.
It was just like, oh, I'm doing it and it's cool and I'm enjoying it. And I never would have thought that, you know, all these years later that I would still be doing it, much less on a national scale.
In the 40 years, have you ever gotten comfortable with saying, yeah, we're here for a while, we're not going anywhere? Or have you always been like, I don't know, this could be over in a year?
Of course, you know the nature of the broadcast industry. It's amazing to be able to stay anywhere for any number of years, much less a year sometimes. And, you know, the FLD run was 6.5 years.
Yeah.
Which was a pretty good run.
Yeah.
And then I went back there and did the Co-Zone there, and that was, I think, 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then came here in 1995 and have stayed here, which, you know, even just that run, people are like, you're still on the air in the same place? That's absolutely amazing. And it is kind of. And I feel kind of reassured that, you know, our boss, Neil Saban, has kind of said, you know, you've got a home here as long as you want it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of an amazing thing in broadcasting as well.
What does it take to put this show together? I mean, Jim, you are now the executive producer. What does your job really entitle?
Well, you know.
No, I say that as an executive producer, and I know that is a very fluid title.
It is.
That means you could be mopping the floor.
He brings me fluids. Exactly.
That's right. Well, I empty the ashtrays from Mr. Coe's, and I take out his gin bottles, and I mop the floor. Actually, it's kind of just being wherever anybody else isn't. I mean, we literally have, you're looking at the most of the staff right here.
Yeah, about half.
You're looking at the entire writing staff with Rich and Chris Faulkner, who I pointed out to you on the way in. He's the director, the producer, the editor. And he does all, I always call it the heavy lifting, because he really does assemble all the pieces together for the show. But as far as getting all that stuff from there to here, you know, and getting the studio arranged, getting a crew set up for when we shoot, because we do have robotic cameras, but they have to have someone in the control room and on the audio board, which is hit the theme for us, Chaz, as our audio guy. And then we have a floor director and somebody running the teleprompter, because believe it or not, this stuff is scripted. But it's coordinating that. And you can see with here at Weigel Broadcasting, the home of MeTV, there's many other moving parts here. There's the local stations, which I could count on two hands now, and the networks, which I'm beginning to be able to count on two hands, because you've got MeTV, Movies, Start TV, Decades, and whatever else has come on since we've recorded this and it's airing. So there's quite a bit going on. So we have to coordinate that. We have to exist with a lot of other entities.
And plus a radio station.
And MeTV FM.
Yes, that's right.
Which will take you up and show you what we like to call Neil Saban's iPod. It's a good one, though.
Oh, we call it radio station in a closet, because when you go up there, it literally is a radio station in, you know, a fairly nice size closet, but it's still in a closet.
And is the closet bigger than your coffin?
Just barely.
Okay.
You're listening to Nude Hippo, the podcast. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
I'm Howard Sudbury.
And I'm Steve Basker.
And on the next Back to You, we're going to have a radio legend, a radio Hall of Famer, who was a childhood hero of mine.
And a great guy with full of stories about his expansive career.
John Records Landecker. We'll find out if Records is truly his middle name.
Back to You with Howard Sudbury and Steve Baskerville.
A Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great talk radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.
This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
On this week's Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
Torn testicles.
The brattiest kid ever.
Pig semen shampoo.
A German who played for the Cubs during World War II.
Rick's brush with German, Werner Klemperer.
And we go up to Milwaukee to the Bobblehead Museum and Hall of Fame. And we talk to its CEO, Phil Sklar. All that in unlimited tangents on this week's Minutia Men.
Tony Lasano Podcast and Opie Production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
RadioMisfits.com.
And we're back. Now more of the interview.
Now, you're on your second coffin. I always get a kick out of talking about your coffin.
Well, you know.
Where did your first coffin come from? Was it Jerry's?
The first coffin was Jerry's second coffin. Who's on first?
Are you keeping track?
Because originally he just had like this plain lying down wooden one that he would climb into. It was gray, and they would have guests sign it.
Okay.
And we actually, when I was doing the second Svengoolie show, we brought that to the Will Rogers Theater once as a prop and never got it back. We have no idea if somebody has it, if it was thrown away or whatever. So if you're out there and you have that, why, I ought
to be more careful.
But during the time that Jerry was there, stagehands and artists there, stagehand Bobby Walker mainly, built the new coffin, the stand-up version. And I designed the artwork on it, and I think it was Jack Glasser, who was the artist on the staff there, who painted it on there. And Jerry used it until he finished up his run, and then he didn't have room to keep it at his house, so it was in the basement at my house, and it went back and forth to a few different places, and when I started the show, we brought it back in, and after a couple of the first shows, I repainted my face over Jerry's face on it.
Yeah, right.
And that coffin lasted till we came here, and for several years, and it was not in good shape. The hinges on it were just terrible. You'd see how I had to lift up the top door every time. And when they decided they'd be willing to have a new one made, which, you know, the great Acme Design Company of Elgin made for us, and, you know, they worked with me on that. The old one went to the Museum of Broadcast Communications, where it will eventually be...
It's actually coming back, I believe, in October.
Yeah.
So they have a display. They're redisplaying all the local shows once again.
Yes, because they've changed around the space there, and they've lost some space. They're redesigning where everything goes.
Yeah. And the new coffin, spacious? Does it have any perks inside?
Oh, luxurious? There are two little fans, which I will show you, built into the back of it.
Hey, I'm calling missing person.
Oh, I've got two of my fans in there. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, those groupies. And, you know, there are the little operational things for the face that's on it, which is Body Sorrell, as we call him, to make his eyes and mouth move and everything, and the little thing that makes the knocker on it operate on its own. It's really nice. They did such a great job, and they conferred with me about all sorts of things on this. The Acme people, just incredible. Because they were fans of the show and also fans of, you know, 30s and 40s movies that we've shown, they did such an incredible job, not just on the coffin, but the entire set that they built. I think it's all pretty unique to any one of these type of shows.
Yeah. Now, you have a lot of fan materials on the sets from fans, you know, of Svengoolie. But you have some big fans now also. We've talked about Mark Hamill in the past and all that.
Sure.
Being on a national format now, has that changed the dynamics of who responds to your show, what you get, how you receive?
Of course, because, again, you know, here it is visible just about the whole country at this point. And that includes, you know, those hotbeds of entertainment like L.A. and New York. And we hear from people all the time. It's just amazing. And we have, you know, actors who come in who I had no idea that they enjoyed the show. And we hear from them. It's kind of cool when we go and do some of the conventions, like the Flashback Weekend one, that you run into people and who are, you know, from these movies. And they're like, oh, yes, Svengoolie. I want to take a picture with you. And it's very, very cool.
Right. They're there so the fans can meet them, and they see you, and they get excited and seeing you.
It's very cool. And we've been doing, and you mentioned Flashback Weekend. We've been doing that for so long. It's a great horror convention every summer. And it used to be, you know, we'd kind of look around to find somebody who wasn't too busy or somebody that we hoped would enjoy the show. Yeah. And I'm here to say that this year there was a line of celebrities who wanted to be interviewed by this guy here.
It was very cool.
Well, I mean, I am such a fan that, and Michael Gray is running the equipment today. He is such a fan as well. I remember not only watching you on my little black and white TV as a kid, I have kept that TV because of that memory. I still have the TV, and my only memory of it is watching you.
Really?
I swear, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes.
And it still works.
No, it finally blew. It no longer works.
Oh, no.
But I have it, like, as a display, and the memory is connected to you, Rich.
Every time a TV dies, a bat gets its wings. That's right.
You should have watched him on a waffle iron. That'd be more practical nowadays. The TV blew out. I don't know.
A waffle iron. Waffle irons don't get UHF.
Well, you don't have to spell. We're all adults here.
No, I gotta
be more careful.
Since you two work together, mm-hmm. when does the writing process begin and end? I would imagine just from talking that sometimes you're just... You just get ideas.
I'm going to raise my hand and say, he does everything. It's all him. And I say this not to be funny, because this is his... You ask what an executive producer does. He doesn't write. That's what this guy does. Yeah. He writes everything,
but
and that's
Rich,
a tremendous amount of stuff.
You get ideas from, I guess, your surroundings. What inspires you?
Well, everything. Yeah. That's it. People always ask, where do your ideas come from? And I honestly have to say... You never know.
Yeah.
It's something I always kind of, I don't know how better to explain. It's like you kind of keep your mind open mm-hmm. all the time. And there's always some little part in the back that's keeping track of things. Because I never know. I'm going to see something, on TV or in a store or just, a conversation with somebody or, some genius talking on their cell phone way too loud somewhere. And you get an idea. Yeah. I mean, that's basically been it. It's like the whole idea. Of just always having your mind open and being able to have something click and be able to build that into something.
Well, when you walk into a TV show that has a studio audience and it says the content here will be recorded for broadcast, you'll be shown, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should have a shirt saying that anything that you do in front of me may become content, because as a writer, I often get inspired by moments. So my friends have seen things that they have interacted with with me on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I'm guessing
Yes.
Have you ever gotten any pushback from anyone going, hey, I said that to you. I didn't know that was going to become a bit.
Not so much. More just people making comments. For example, the Empire Carpet Man.
Right.
We did Lynn something Holden. Once that he did not appreciate and when I was back in the 32, and we knew about it, but he was okay with it. He was actually a fan of the show, so he was all right. But, every so often you might do something that's misinterpreted or that somebody takes in a way that it was not meant, and they're going to complain about it. Yeah. But overall, I've never, run into too many of them. You made fun of me because I once had a pet chicken or something. It's like, whatever.
And that's the thing when you're dealing with parody. I mean, everybody realizes it's in good nature and it's not meant. It's meant mm-hmm. to make people laugh.
And well, you would hope so, and especially the whole Berwyn thing. that was always just it's just jokes. Yeah. We do jokes about it. And there was one independent party mayor who was in power for a short time who did not like that. Mm-hmm. And, because Berwyn has been trying to do this why Berwyn thing, mm-hmm. and many people have asked that. showing that it's a nice suburb and it's a good place to live and young people are moving there and everything. But he was just, militant about it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, we're not this joke that Sven Gulli makes us out to be. And he was pretty much the only person who ever responded that way. Anytime I've been there, people there have been very kind and love me. Yeah. And, they've been just great. And they know it's just jokes. And I remember one elderly lady once saying, I don't know why people would complain. You put us on the map.
Yes,
and
yes.
So, I'm a cartographer.
Wow.
And then how many Sven Gulli outfits do you have and where do you get them from?
It's like Little Orphan Annie. I have a whole closet.
Right, you open them and that's all. Well,
for the longest time, I had just one.
Yeah.
And that includes one wig, one hat, two lovely red tuxedo shirts, but the double-breasted, which is not easy to find, tuxedo jacket. But as we've gone along, I managed to find a few here and there. Yeah. We actually, the wig, the original wig... is, I'm not saying it's ratty, but it's...
Sleeping.
Yeah, close to that. And we went to Fantasy Costumes and got an additional wig, which we have. We still need some fine-tuning. Yeah. It's a beautiful wig, but there's times when I'm almost like Shemp Howard with the bangs going over my face. So we need to have them trim it down a little bit. And got an additional hat. And the thing is, and Jim will tell you about this, we were very worried. We went to Phoenix to do a private convention for, what was it?
The Dish Network.
Dish folks. Network. And it was for their, the installers and franchisees and such. And it was the first time we were going to be, flying with this thing. And we were worried, what happens if you lose it? So fortunately now we at least have... you know, some backup stuff that go with it. The only thing we don't have a backup is that little skeleton pin that I wear, which originally was given to me from WGN Steve and Johnny. And before I actually got the job at WCIU. They gave it to me as a gift, and I've always considered it a good luck charm because it was shortly after that that they actually hooked me up with Neil Saban. And I ended up with the job at WCIU. So, but those are very, it was a, you know, one of those seasonal type pins from Hallmark for Halloween. And they only made it, I think, 1 year. And it's very difficult to find. You can find them, people are selling them on eBay if they have them for, you know, $80, $90 or more.
That's too much.
Well, you know, you can't cut corners.
That's right.
But that will be the toughest thing for somebody to come up with. Because I hear that all the time. People, I'm dressing as you for Halloween. Where do I get the skeleton? And it's like, go to eBay and spend your life savings, and you'll be able to get it.
Do a Google search for skeleton.
Is there a big demand on Halloween? Do people contact you about dressing up as you?
Constantly.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Not just at Halloween, but all year long. Because I think, you know, when you go to these various conventions.
And I've seen them. I've seen people dressed
as you. I know you've seen them,
yes.
And they're worried about you, you know, going and smacking them one. It happens all the time. And we even had a little instructional sheet showing how to do the makeup.
It goes up on the website every year, right around Halloween time. And it's like one of the number one viewed or downloaded thing, whatever the kids these days are doing with it.
And just the other day on our blog, there's a little place for comments. And there are many comments, many of which at times have nothing to do with my blog. But there was a guy who posted some picture like, I stole Svengoolie's outfit, and he's got the costume, you know, for use, obviously. He's going to dress as me sometime, I'm thinking.
And he had soup on Tuesday, if you look at paragraph three.
I see. So it's like, you know, then the people always want it. And, you know, I often laugh at some of the shortcuts people take. And the other thing is there's people with beards or something. Full beards. And my saying has always been, you have to, you know, do the bit. If you're going to dress as me, shave off the rest of the beard and make it a small little beard. You know, it's just looking like me, if, you know, I cross with the wolf man, does not fly.
You can't do the Cesar Romero thing where you just paint your beard white.
Actually, people have tried that and just put like the flesh color on there, and it just looks like they have some skin disease.
Well, remember the 1 year where we had the guy who was trying to dress his kid or do the makeup with his kid at whatever appearance we were at with a Sharpie.
Yes. Yes, he says, he wants to look like you. And he is taking this Sharpie. I am telling him, you know, that's very difficult to get off skin. It's a permanent marker. It may take a lot of time and effort to get that off there. Oh, he wants to look like you. To this day,
he looks like me. And for the record, in case that man is listening, we stopped him before he put an irremovable marker from his child's face.
It was like, don't use Sharpies to make yourself look like me.
Nope, it ain't worth it.
Well, tell the people at home that's listening how they could get all the MeTV, the Svengoolie stuff, but going to MeTV to get the T-shirts and all that.
Well, basically, you just go to www.svengoolie.com and click on the store. I have a store. little tab. And all the stuff is available there. And there is more to come because we've got more 40th anniversary things coming up. There will be some very cool things that I'm not allowed to mention what they are, but there will be more T-shirts and various items available there.
I got your action figure.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. In fact, Michael here bought two. One to play with and one to keep storage.
I thought he was going to say one to blow up with firecrackers. Yes.
That's another thing. If you go on eBay, you'll find people selling them for, you know, $250. And I entreat all of you, do not buy one of those. You know, we'll eventually have more, I think, coming up. But my God, that's, you know,
Sorry, Michael. Take it down.
And no personal checks. And Tony, then. You know, as we mentioned, the store, but you also go to MeTV.com for the schedule, because there's, as we're required by law to say, there's a lot of other good things on MeTV as well.
But also, in case someone has just ran into this podcast and has not seen Svengoolie, it could be in your area. You're, what, 80, more than 80% of the country?
90-something.
I think between 95, 96.
So basically, 97, 97, 97, 97.
You should
go here, 98.
So that's on MeTV.
MeTV.com. Yeah, and they have a where to watch. And you can do that. You can find out where you get it over the air. So it's, you know, something dot something. Then you've got cable and different satellite providers.
Basically, if you go to MeTV.com, there's a place that says where to watch. You click on that. And if you put your zip code in of where you live, it will tell you all the different carriers in that area. And that includes over the air and, you know, cable and dish and such.
And an instruction to your listeners, Tony, they should go there right now, just tune in MeTV, and just leave it on until they see Svengoolie.
That's right.
And then say,
you might see Andy Griffith.
Or Johnny Crawford.
Or Gomer Pyle.
The Rifleman. Okay, here's Mama's Family. You got one for that there? You got one?
Vin, shut up.
Oh, for God's sake. All right, what about the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Hey, Rob, look who's coming over.
All right, I got one. I got one for the Brady Bunch. You ready? Here, I got one. Ready?
Yeah. Herf. That's Allison.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Hey, I don't want to say she was ugly. But
oh, that's wild.
When you started the Svengoolie, there was no internet. They were just on one channel locally, and you had to use a hanger to be able to even get the signal. And
to
now
your child to go change the channel. That's just wrong.
Just looking back at the last 40 years of where it's going, I'm imagining that Svengoolie, even after you're long gone from doing Svengoolie, may still exist out there in the universe forever. What do you think about that thought?
I'd be amazed. I really would. I mean, you know, it's like when I, hopefully it will be my decision when to stop, barring any unforeseen circumstances. But I mean, the great thing would be, you know, again, the thing that touches me the most, that it means so much to people, and that, you know, they will have the memory of it, and it'll be good memories of it. You know, I don't know how much further it will go. I know the TV signals are going out, you know, through the universe, and somewhere there's a black hole where somebody will be going,
Svengoolie? Dude, you're blowing my mind.
This is what Earth people look like. We must remove him. And it'll be, I mean, it's cool. It's nice. Yeah. Like I said, it means a lot to me that it's meant so much to so many people.
Well, it has for me as well. I want to thank you both for being here on my little podcast.
We're at work today.
I know. Thank you for coming to your studio.
Thank you for coming into our studio
and thank
to record
you for
this.
Thanking him for thanking us for.
It's a thankless job.
All right. And thanks to Michael Gray, who's doing all the work over. He's just over here.
Yes. He's got nothing to say.
I think he stopped breathing.
Are we ready to record yet?
Oh, you wanted me to start?
Yeah.
No,
fine. Now another whole 5 minutes. We'll be right down the old Bemis.
All right, so that was Rich Coase and Jim Roach. I'm very proud of that they let me into their studio to sit down and chat with them. It's always cool to sit there and do an interview with a coffin right next to you. That's where you get. That's where you include a rim shot. Thank you. All right, I want to thank from Anne Friends, the podcast, Kimmy Spoons. Thank you for helping out this week.
Oh, thank you, Tony. I'd like to give you, the executive producer, a special thanks as well, as you're with the opishows.com. Opie is hippo spelled backwards. O-P-P-I-H shows.com. And of course, our distributor, Ed Silla with Radio Misfits. Great talk radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. Radiomisfits.com. I realize you're supposed to say that, but I just read everything.
That's okay. Until next time, from all of us here at Nude Hippo the Podcast, stick around.
Listen, subscribe, rate Nude Hippo the Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search for Radio Misfits. Be sure to tell a friend about Nude Hippo the Podcast, which is available online at radiomisfits.com.
The proceeding was a presentation of Opie Productions. Find our other great shows wherever you find podcasts, including opishows.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
Be sure to tune in to Free Kicks with Adam and Rick. Our podcast highlights the best soccer league in the world.
The English Premier League.
We recap the previous week's games.
and preview the upcoming games.
I do it from an American point of view.
And I do it as an authentic Brit, accent and all.
That's authentic. Right, Governor?
Not exactly how I say it.
We all also talk about the local soccer scene because Adam is the Illinois Youth Director of Coaching. If you love soccer...
Football.
Tune in to Free Kicks. New episodes drop weekly.
On the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Coming up on the next episode of the Car Guys Report, Informed Automotive, it's a special guest talking about the road that car guys dream about, the tail of the dragon, plus tips on automotive detailing. I'm Mark Vernon. Join me and my special guest for these stories and more on the Car Guys Report, a Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.